The following program contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. If you are under 18, please find your titillation elsewhere. All views expressed in this program are solely those of the person who said them. Anyone who says otherwise is looking for a throwdown. We are not doctors or medical professionals, so all advice is for novelty purposes only. Greetings and salutations, listeners. I'm Cooper, and along with Anya, Tyler, Kylie, Dylan, and Elliot, I'd like you to pull up a swing and come along with us on a discussion of open relationships, sexuality, and discovering who you are and where you fit into a world wherein the people around you hold pleasure for all as an ideal. This ain't your parents' world of romantic TV dinners and sex twice a year, boys and girls. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, where sharing is caring. Okay, welcome to Life on the Swing Set. Today's topic is dipping a toe in about the beginning of open relationships. I'm Cooper. With me is Kylie, Tyler, and Dylan. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
And before we get started, does anyone have any business, anything they want to talk about before the big topic comes up?
Well, I know Kylie isn't wearing any panties.
That's always good.
Thank you.
and then we can sail right forward. First thing we want to talk about is what defines an open relationship, because this is a show about opening up relationship-wise, not necessarily sexually. So I'd kind of like to put that out to you guys. What is an open relationship to you?
Well, I always thought that I had this very strong sense of what a relationship was. You know, it had to be, you had to date one person and you had to get to know one person and, you know, even if you even looked at somebody else, you know, that was betraying their relationship and, oh no, you looked at a girl and, you know, everybody gets mad. And I mean, it's one big, you know, joke about men that, you know, if you're walking with a woman down the street and you look at another girl, you know, she has to slap you because you can't look at another woman. And so,
hell, I'm the first one to check out the other girl's ass over my fiance.
But that takes a little bit. We're not trained to act that way. So I think that the first little crack of opening up to me is that, I could look at another girl and just appreciate beauty and just, and not feel guilty about it. And then have, you know, my partner, see me look at another girl and not get jealous or anything like that. And so I think that's a good start to what, you know, might start opening up a relationship.
Well, a lot of what we perceive as being the way, you know, things are, it's television is doing a lot of this to us, because the wives on TV always get upset when the husbands notice someone else. It seems to be a major plot point on almost every sitcom ever. And it's a largely
for,
regarded
everybody
as being
loves Lucy.
The idea of...
Good. Oh,
man. Everybody did love Lucy, too.
Yeah, we could do a remake of that, a sexy remake.
So, but...
Hustler already did.
Actually, I was just, you know, on the Hustler website. They have a Everybody Loves Lucy, XXX parody.
Well, Marge Simpson was on Playboy not too long ago.
She was.
So.
Yes, she was. That was interesting to see an officially sanctioned Matt Groening illustration.
Sadly, Homer killed
everybody. I'm
still
waiting for Lois. Lois, it has to be next.
Lois would be a good one. The big thing about opening relationships and why a lot of people are very hesitant is we have this idea of relationships being like a starvation economy. You know, in order for me to give all the love to one person, I can't divide it amongst more than one, which is flawed in its logic initially, because, you know, when a couple has one kid, they love them with all their heart, and when they have another kid, they love that kid with all their heart too. It's not like they suddenly have to transfer and split up 50-50 love, so that is, of course, also able to be true with romantic love and sexual expression and all that. So in open relationships, the most common types of open relationships, there's the swinging relationships, which is predominantly sexual in nature. There's polyamorous, which is predominantly relationship-y in nature, you know, multiple loves. And then there's the crazy idea of just miscellaneous dating while married, and I don't understand how that one would work. So, of
it's
all
kind
the people,
of a loose poly kind of relationship, right? That last one.
The just dating without, while married.
Yeah, you kind of have your primary relationship, and then you.
Yeah, that is very poly in stature. Yeah. I guess
it's
first,
kind of like a priority system, you know.
Well, the hierarchy, it's like on Big Love. You know, they get certain days.
Only that is creepy.
that is rather creepy sometimes.
But then you also have to separate between what, you know, the legitimate, you know, multi-person relationships and the, you know, hey, you just want to get it on with other people and it isn't necessarily a relationship or, you know, it's just a sexual
thing. It is a relationship, though. I mean, a sexual relationship is a relationship.
Well, that's true.
It's just, you know, we're
not by
kind of.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Well, actually, an interesting article recently was about the idea that Bill Clinton and Hillary have an open relationship in the last sense of it. They are basically, they're willing to turn that blind eye and allow the relationship to include other sex partners, which is why Hillary managed to stay with him through. I mean, because, you know, Bill was screwing around all through the campaign trail, all through
every political leader is screwing around. Anybody in power has somebody on the side. Bill just got caught.
Well, but the point is, Hillary was clearly aware of that and seemingly accepting of that. So the idea is the question of whether or not they have set rules for an open relationship. Which is interesting. So I guess,
Of course, they couldn't acknowledge that, you know, on the political stage at large. So, you know, they had to act outraged. But, you know, I never thought about that. If they actually did have that kind of agreement or relationship or whatever they wanted to call it, and they could never acknowledge it everywhere, then that puts the whole Monica Lewinsky thing through a really different colored glass to me.
Yeah, because Hillary would immediately have to appear outraged. Otherwise, they have a whole new set of issues.
You're immoral.
Well, yeah, I mean, the moment you get the idea that there might be a swinger in the White House.
God forbid.
The entire general mid-America would freak out about that.
Well, how they're flipping out now because
everybody that's
a black
forgotten
one,
about
so.
Kennedy, at least.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people will look at it and say, well, and Kennedy's another example. I mean, Kennedy was reasonably true that he was fucking Marilyn Monroe, and it'd be very difficult for him to get away with all this without Jackie knowing about it, and it's very unlikely that this was an isolated incident. So therefore, you do have to wonder, maybe in the case of
No, they were more than likely constrained by the morals of the time, where she just shut up and didn't say anything about it.
Well,
the news didn't have the media didn't have an interest in trying to get the story. They weren't going to create a scandal for the president of the United States. You know, there was just this different sort of coda that existed back then that they weren't going to.
Yeah, you didn't immediately start frenzying at the merest drop of blood in the water. But there is this idea of an open relationship wherein your needs cannot be met or will not be met by your partner. And this is the theory about what the Clintons' marriage is like, is Hillary is just not interested in meeting all of Bill's needs. So therefore, she allows him to seek it elsewhere.
Well, you know, that sounds a lot like what, you know, Dan Savage preaches. You know, of course, with consent on both sides, where, you know, he talks about if you have a partner that either is unable or unwilling to meet your sexual needs, but you might still love each other, then there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to come to an agreement and be able to explore other options.
That's what me and Darth have right now, as far as I like bondage to in a level that he doesn't want to go to, which is fine. You know, he loves me more. He loves me to a point that he can't do that. It took him, you know, a year of us doing stuff together for him to even smack my ass. So, to me to get what that I want, I still love him with all my heart, want to marry him, all that good shit, but I go to somebody else with consent to get that you know, kick that I want with the bondage.
Yeah, Holly and I have that same kind of situation, only it's reversed, right? You know, I like to tie people up, and she doesn't, so it's like, well...
Well, that seems to be the way a lot of open relationships get started, even without the idea of we're looking into an open relationship, is I present this idea that I want to do this thing, and my partner cannot, won't, or is not interested in doing that. It could lead to a lot of regret and suppression and ultimately cheating if there isn't that outlet. So when you do have that kind of situation, it is worth talking about the possibility of opening the relationship, which is kind of
you have to admit that, you know, that one person isn't going to meet everything that, you know, you might be interested in or, you know, need or require. And, you know, the idea that your marriage is somehow going to be everything and everything you're ever going to need in your life puts a lot of pressure on that relationship. And if you don't have some outlets to kind of relieve the pressure on it, you know, you're straining it. And, you know, this is just one outlet to, you know, It does have the ability to actually strengthen your relationship, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, once you come to the realization that your partner isn't meeting your need in one way or another, I think the first question you end up asking each other, or you ask yourself, because, I mean, you have to take care of yourself in life, and, you know, if you can't do that, then you really can't, it's harder to take care of other people. But once you ask yourself, what do I want to do at this point? Am I interested in working with my partner in either meeting my need or finding another avenue of meeting this need? Or do I want to separate? You know, if you get to the point where you can say, I want to be with this person, you know, whether they can meet my need or not, as long as they can work with me on it, then you can go ahead and explore other options.
Well, I mean, we clearly have a problem in this country of adultery, and I was reading a recent study that said 70% of men have an adulterous relationship in their lifetime. So you get this idea that, okay, all these people want to explore other avenues. It can't all be about what a lot of people consider adultery is about, hurting the other person and all that. It's about a lot of us cannot function as monogamous people for any large amount of time. And so given the opportunity to have an open relationship with a clearly defined boundaries and good communication, we are allowing ourselves to be able to have those external relationships without destroying the primary relationship, because most of divorces happen because of infidelity.
I'm sorry, her ass was just so tempting I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Wow, where are you?
I'm just saying that's usually what the excuse is, you know, or I was drunk or whatever.
Oh, the drunk excuse is pretty popular, but I think it all starts with the, you know, well, you never sleep with me. Well, there's another reason for this, and you know, there's usually some breakdown in communication, or you know, there's no meeting of the minds on where you are in a relationship where either one person's caught completely off guard or one person completely suspects something and then it happens, but there's not a lot of in between.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but when, you know, growing up, you get this idea that there is no other option. Monogamy is the option, and you're going to be that prick who sleeps around if you're not monogamous. So just the very idea that there is another option, that non-monogamy is a viable option, is almost... It's like the clouds parting and seeing, oh, wow, there is a place for me in this world. There is the ability to have, you know, a healthy, stable primary relationship and still explore other interests and opportunities.
Only you can do it with someone else, which is just as fun.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it was a terrible feeling for me for a long time. You know, I was perfectly capable of having long-term relationships, but after a while, it wasn't that I got bored or unhappy with the person. I'd be perfectly happy, you know, emotionally, mentally, sexually with that person, but I'd start to look. And so, you know, I'd be able to suppress or ignore wanting to look at other people for a while, but eventually I just starting it, I would just start and I'd want it.
You know, I never tried. I never tried to suppress that. I was pretty open.
Yeah, I, you know, I obviously didn't like touch and go play, but I see a cute guy, I'm like, yummy. Same thing with a girl. You know, I was ready to go and go jump them, so there was no holding back of the fact of actually not doing something.
No, I had a very strong moral compass that was telling me I shouldn't be feeling that way, and so I worked very hard to suppress it.
Oh, see, there's your problem. You gotta get rid of that compass.
We need to break that compass.
You're absolutely right. And, well, I was a true believer for a long time, and, you know, it made me feel guilty when I started feeling that way, but eventually what I would do is I'd get to know this other person as a friend, and admittedly, most of my relationships have started with friends. So get to know this person as a friend, start falling for them, or start feeling something, or start lusting, you know, whatever it was. But instead of cheating, because that was wrong and you wouldn't want to do that, I ended up sabotaging the original relationship, which obviously is way less bad than, you know, what the cheating thing or, you know, whatever other arrangements there were. So I'd sabotage the first relationship, get into the second, and realize, wow, I made a mistake, not because the second was bad, but because I really loved or liked the person in the first relationship. And so I'd sabotage the second relationship, try to get back into the first one, and then I either would or wouldn't get back into it. And it was just, there was this long-term pattern of me doing it. And, you know, you get to a point
where it's not only, I mean, it's not you, it's just the whole premise of the relationship you were working off was the flaw,
totally right.
Speaking of that friendship thing, though, that you were mentioning, that, you know, you would be in the relationship and you would have a friend that would become close you wanted, that's actually how me and Darth started off doing this, is I had a dear, dear friend, Ty, and we've been friends for a long time, and, you know, before I even met Darth, him, Ty, and I would talk online and do things online, and then I had to stop because, obviously, in the relationship with Darth. But then Ty came to visit, and the conversation says, well, I would really like to get with him. How can I do it but not cheat on you? And it ended up actually being a threesome, which was funny as hell. They quite literally drew a line on me, and you get one half, and you get the other half, and don't cross each other's line. And
speaking of I Love Lucy, that sounds like a plot episode.
Don't cross the streams.
Very, which actually, it was dark, and they accidentally touched each other's hands, and it was like they each had a plague. They went to each corners and just stared, and I had no idea what was going on.
Well, Kylie, what you're talking about, though, that's a great example of you came to a realization in yourself that you wanted this thing, and you had the foresight and the good thought to express that to your partner. And so many people, and myself and my wife Marilyn included, we didn't do that. You know, we spent most of our time wanting to have sex with other people, but we didn't tell each other that. So when we finally did get around to saying that to each other, it was like, well, we could have been doing this all along. Why didn't we ever mention that to each other?
And then you made up for lost time.
Yes, very, very well.
With gusto.
But the key is, you know, if you are thinking of an open relationship is good for you, you have to make sure that it's a mutual decision. This can't be a, I'd like to be open, so I'm going to go be open. There has to be some discussion and a lot of in-depth chats about rules and restrictions and all that. So ideally, you want to already have a relationship with good communication, because an open relationship is going to force communication.
Oh, wait, I got to ask. Was the line down the middle vertical or horizontal? I mean, did they take like the bottom half and the top half?
It was right down the middle. So you get left boob, you get right boob.
Oh, wow.
But who got that's the too part structured in the middle?
Yeah.
That was where a turn by turn basis.
Oh well, very nice.
Did you and then, roll a die and you know, if it was 1-3?
No.
Or no, tag
and
them
then
in.
When it became for what's in the middle, then one person would go down and one person would go up, and then they would trade off. And no, there was no die or draw of the hat. It was just kind of what flowed.
Damn, I was hoping for a 20-sided die on that.
Well done there.
Oh, interesting.
Well, at least
any other questions about the experience?
how did it work for you?
Oh, I was happy as hell. I had cocks and I was satisfied.
No waiting.
No waiting.
Yeah. All I know is that, you know, I had already, I'd been with Tonya for a long time, and I had already done that whole sabotaging a relationship thing before. And so I got to a point where I felt like I might have wanted to do it again in the future. And I'm like, you know what, I needed to figure something else out. And so, you know, I had to figure out what it would be like, and started talking to her about. I wanted to figure out whether I wanted to do something on my own or wanted to do something with her. And I realized, well, I loved her. It's not like she wasn't meeting my needs, so why not include her? And so, you know, it started a very long and drawn-out conversation. Drawn out in a good way, but, you know, it basically took 2 years for us to get to the point where we were comfortable with the idea of doing it. And then after that, you know, we were able to just
comfortable with the idea. We just, because, you know, I'm really young, so we were still, a lot of people who are in this lifestyle are older. We couldn't find any couples to do what we wanted. And a lot of it was girls, just ended up being single girls, because I'm bi. And so that was fine. I was more than happy to go find some girls like that. And it was actually, took us a while to actually even find our first couple. And sadly, with all the girls, a lot of it was drama. And then the first couple, you know, worked out for a while. And then we moved on for reasons. So.
Well, that brings up another thing, you know, being bi as a female is generally seen as a positive thing within the confines of a, you know, two person relationship. So it's
a positive thing, yeah, in almost any context.
But, yeah, very true. But if you're in a monogamous relationship, why is it okay to have a girlfriend or a wife that might possibly be bi? So it's like, it's almost always okay for the girl to bring in another girl into the relationship, but. You know,
it's less
guy.
Threatening Ooh. For a guy, let's face it. That's why,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the whole line down the middle thing came about. Guys are just, you know, it's a total male issue that exists in the male brain.
Yeah, and well, and it's, you know, it's two girls, it's pretty, it's great. You know,
you're always for that. You're always for that.
So, I mean, one of the things you can do, you know, the idea of you wanting to broach this subject with your partner is a very important thing, especially if you've never gotten anywhere near a conversation like this, because if you haven't ever talked about something like this, it makes it a little bit harder to start having this conversation. So you would really need to start by sharing some fantasies or just making the idea known that
Time at band camp.
That's a way to go. You know, the idea that you're just opening up the line of communication, because if you haven't had this type of conversation before, it's really difficult and can be very scary to start this, because once that conversation is out of the gate, there's very little going back. You know, you are kind of in it to win it at that point.
Yep.
So then the next thing is you kind of figure out where you want to go with this. You know, if you have this idea that you're falling in love with someone else, that's a little different than just a generalized I'm interested in seeing what else is out there, because the coming in to talk to your spouse or significant other with this, I've already got someone in mind, can be a very intimidating way to begin the conversation.
Yeah, especially because if you're the man and you have another woman in mind, you know, that can signal, well, are you interested in this other woman in replacing me? Whatever it is, you kind of have to just have a good trusting understanding first and believe that whatever is going to happen, you two really do want to do it together or want to be with each other, and then you can start expanding out from there. At least if you're going to do it as a couple, you know.
Well, the key is, you know, and a lot of people in the swinging lifestyle, in the polyamorous lifestyle, are very insistent that you not become a swinger, not become a polyamorist, if you have issues existing in your relationship already, because this will magnify those issues. And that's very true. It does magnify all the issues you currently have.
I have this firsthand. We were with a couple a while back, and the only reason why she was interested in doing anything was because she was trying to make him happy to save the relationship. And
oh,
it
yeah, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, and it actually really badly.
We should make the point that swinging will not save your relationship, and open relationships will not save your relationships. I mean, if you're starting off from a bad spot, it's only going to make things worse.
Well, especially the idea of I'm doing this to save the relationship for her. You know, she wants to do this, so damn it, we're going to do this. That may sound like, you know, a caring and positive way to approach this, but ultimately it's going to become something like, oh, well, I don't really want to do this, so there's going to be resentment and all those issues down the line, which is very much unfortunate. So then we come to open relationships versus cheating. What is the difference?
Well,
whether or not you're lying or not.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, communicating what you're doing. Whether
you can swing and cheat, too.
Very true. And actually, the swinging community does not look kindly at all on cheaters within the community because, you know, you have this great thing, this we can sleep with anyone we want. And then to blow it by being secretive and screwing around on the outside, it's like, well, you're just making us all look bad.
Well, yeah, you're basically ruining the lifestyle or polyamory or whatever else. You're ruining that for everybody else who's in that because it will eventually come out and, you know, it'll be one of those things, well, you know, Bob and Joan Smith down the street, you know, they tried it and look what happened. You know, we can't do it because of this.
Well, now, a lot of people will immediately attack and say, you know, I knew some swingers, and they're divorced now. Mm. But you look at the overwhelming...
Those people are just jealous.
Well, you look at the statistics. If 50% of marriages end in divorce, 50% of swinger marriages will end in divorce. Or less. I mean, the swingers that I know...
Well, that you know, you don't really know the math. I mean, the 50% of the people that stay married could be swingers. We don't know that.
Hey, that's true. we could be on the good side.
Well, we have a research study we're going to have to do now.
Yes, we're going to have to do very scientific study.
I'll get right on.
Okay, good, good. I feel comfortable knowing that you're in charge. You're on top of that.
You know, I have to believe that somebody's done this. We'll really have to do some research because I mean, you know, there's been a lot of research done into other types of relationships, and you know, they started doing relationships studies on gay relationships in the 70s. You know, when they were starting to look at overturning, the psychological standards book, the DSM. They started deciding whether to continue classifying it as a mental illness or not, and they started doing some large studies on that. And I think, I'm going to have to look, but I think that kicked off a whole bunch of other, you know, alternate lifestyle studies. And so there's got to be something out there. We'll have to...
There probably is. I know I have access to a few resources. I might be able to find something.
Well, one of the things, though, is that you have to look at, you know, all studies that involve swingers are flawed because the swinger community is, by and large, a very private community. You know, we are one of those weird minorities that it's still okay to discriminate against. You know, the lesbian gay minority has come up in the world enough that it's become more and more acceptable. It's still not there, but it is more and more acceptable. And we've gotten to the point as a society where we understand that gay and lesbian people are born homosexual. You know, that's the way it is. We, unfortunately...
We have choice.
We are... We have choice.
Hey, I'm proud
and we
of my
are the
choice,
folks.
Thank you. I choose both.
I'm proud of my choice, too. But unfortunately, that is why a lot of swingers are still in the closet. And, you know, we are people sitting here doing a pseudonymous show. You know, pseudonymous. I don't even know if that's a word. But we are clearly...
No, it's not.
it's close to a word. I know that. So, but we are
there
hiding.
There are many words that are close to it.
Well, you know, I mean... Here's a high five, Taylor.
Very nice.
I'm not ashamed of anything I do. And I don't really care what people know. But it kind of comes down to it. It's just nobody's business what I do in the bedroom. So I don't flaunt it. And I really... I'm not out there telling people, you know, what I do with my friends and
Well, you know, there's so many reasons that people and, you know, the government or whatever you want to say, it should stay out of your bedroom. This obviously would be one for the a poster one for those who are heterosexual. You know, if you're going to, not bother with looking into people's bedrooms, whether they be.
I don't think all swingers are hetero.
Well, no, but you know, that's where a lot of this stuff started. You know, you wanted to try and regulate a certain type of morality, but it ends up affecting you in different ways. I mean, like Utah, you know, when they started to try and ban contraception, well, that all of a sudden that means that, you know, good old hetero straight couples can't use contraception. Oh, then we can't do that. So they didn't end up passing the law. So once you can loop it into something that is the social norm, then you kind of defeat it that way. I don't even know how I got on this. So
The morality police is very interesting, and the morality police often, I hesitate to say always, but I think I'm leaning that way, is defined by a certain institution that doesn't have to pay taxes.
Yes, and the little religious types.
I think a lot of the issues that are keeping people from allowing themselves to even explore something like an open relationship are because of past moral direction from a certain area that I'm
that
trying
boy,
very hard
down.
Not to start a rant about religion. So let's.
You can be perfectly religious. You can be perfectly religious and still be, you know, in an open relationship. I think that a lot of Americans, I think it's easy to generalize Americans when I say this, have decided that it's okay to disagree with the church that you're in sometimes. I disagreed with the Catholic Church a lot. I mean, it actually started me down, you know, part of this path, but even I didn't take everything that the Pope or that the Catechism told me I had to believe and just believe it. I started disagreeing on one thing. Then I started disagreeing on 2, 5, 10 things, and you can still believe, you can still have faith, and be part of a different lifestyle. I don't think they're inherently incompatible, but you just can't, you have to be able to disagree on some things.
Well, and ultimately, you know, I do know a number of swingers who are religious people who go to church every week, who do all that. I don't understand it. I don't get into religious discussions with those swingers. You know, our playtime is confined to other types of discussions, which are more productive for me.
Well, you know, there's this whole school of thought that, you know, and again, this would be somebody else's school of thought, but I'm going to speak for them because it's not me. But that, you know, God gave us the ability to enjoy ourselves in certain ways, and so why would you want to suppress your sexuality if, you know, a deity gave it to you? Why wouldn't being able to express yourself sexually with somebody bring you closer to that? You know, why does something that feels so good have to be bad? I think you know, on a very basic level, if it
I
feels
think that's
great,
song
why
lyric
is it
somewhere
bad?
In there.
Well, pretty sure right. It is.
But
and ultimately, I think I also think that should be our slogan, is that God wants you to do it.
And here's the proof. It's written right here. Be able to cite Bible verse and such.
Well, no matter what you do in this day and age, whether, you know, there's going to be, someone's going to find something in the Bible to support it, and someone's going to find something in the Bible to go against it. So what it comes down to is what you personally feel is right and what you personally feel you want to do. If you feel between you and your significant other that you can have this relationship where you can have sex with other people, date other people.
Oh, no, no. You know, they have an out for that, though. That's relativism, and that's a sin, too.
Yeah, but let's take religion out of the deal right now and just kind of go back to what you're comfortable with. Because, again, me and my fiancé, we were at a point where we are actually going to do the kind of the dating thing where he had someone, as long as, you know, I'm number one, so like my holidays, I want a Christmas, I'm on the holidays, but otherwise, you know, he could hang out with her and I could hang out with mine as much as we wanted, as long as we still had a couple time between us. You know, sadly, his girl ended in big drama on her side, so that ended that for a time being, but as long as I'll say four parties in this particular thing are understanding the rules and understanding how it's supposed to be and how it's going to work, that, you know, a lot of it's going to be communication. And I know that's what's going to be brought up multiple times throughout this podcasts and throughout shows in the future is communication. That's what works. You have to tell what you like and what you don't like, what you are comfortable with, what you're not with.
Once you decide, you can communicate with people and you're on the same page, you know, how do you end up being that? How do you end up starting that process? I mean, you know, I know you two decided you wanted to start dating with each other, but, you know, how did you guys end up bringing it about? Did you already have friends that you wanted to, get with, or, you know, what did you do?
Yeah, that's what it was, is I was saying to the gentleman I was with that was doing the bondage like that, him and I got really, really close, and, you know, I would love to date him further, do that with, and he was with the girl. I'll call her cheerleader. He was with the cheerleader because she was a cheerleader at the time. She, you know, him and her got really close and had things in common. So, you know, they wanted to do, she loved to shop. I hate shopping. So, you know, they would go do that. I would go do archery with, you know, my friend. And it was just one of those things that, you know, we spent time with each other and then with each other's the cheerleader and my friend, and that's the way it, you know, it just kind of worked that way. And we kind of, at that time, we've already been, you know, doing stuff with other couples, so we just sat down saying, okay, are you okay with this? What would you be not okay with? You know, we're already doing this and this with the other couple, other girl and other guy, so what are you comfortable with and what is not?
That's kind of where we're going next year with, so you've decided to become a fill-in-the-blank swinger, polyamorous, whatever. The key then is figuring out what level you're both okay with and developing your ground rules, limits, boundaries, and those sort of will evolve with time, but you need a good starting point to be able to figure that out. But what's interesting to me with your situation is I wonder if the others that you were dating, did you ever have times where all of you were together, or was it exclusively both of you were separate out with your playmates, for lack
of
a better term?
Times it was all four. There has been plenty of times, maybe not sexually, but all three of us would be together. Like the cheerleader, me, and Darth would be together, or Darth, me, and my friend would be together. But there, just because the other two third parties did not have interest in each other, it just never been on all four in hangout or sexual level. But
so it wasn't a couple thing, it was just you two found individuals.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
So now developing your ground rules, it's kind of shaky area there, because a lot of ground rules start off extremely restrictive, and you know, it's really difficult to start that, because when they're restrictive, it's very easy to break them, which leads to drama, which leads to conflict, which can very, very quickly lead to this was a failed experiment, let's not do this again. So how do you avoid that?
Talking a lot and figuring out, you know, obviously come up with the strict rules first, and then once you have those, still in that same conversation, sit down and say, okay, well, what's the likeliness of the, how is this going to work?
Well, I think the first place, that's good, but you also have to kind of start with yourself. I mean, you know, when I first started doing this, I started thinking about how it would feel to, you know, see Tonya with someone else, and it didn't feel good at all. And you know, if you're going to bother, you know, dipping your toes into this, then you have to feel good about it, because it's got to be equal, you know. So I felt perfectly fine, you know, flirting with, having fun with getting with another woman, but for her to, oh no, I couldn't do that. So once I was okay with it, I had to figure out what I was okay with. And you know, if you're not okay with everything for her, you kind of have to limit yourself to that too. So I mean, now it's really no big deal, but if I didn't want her to go down on him or to, you know, swallow his cum, then, well, I couldn't do something equivalent on my end. And so but I had to visualize that in my head before I could even talk about it, because if I didn't know, or if I didn't know how I felt about that, I couldn't really put it out. So I think a good place to start is, well, think of your significant other. Think of him getting fucked, you know, buck wild by somebody else. How does that make you feel? If it doesn't make you feel good, then okay.
I just got turned on all of a sudden.
Really?
See, well, I'm the exception to all this, is I actually get turned on watching him fuck another girl. I don't know why. It just drives me crazy.
Well, I don't think you're the exception.
You're not an exception.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you think stereotypical women, they think of their husbands, whoever, significant other, with another person, they flip out. Where me, I'm like, ooh, really? Where's pictures?
Well, and that's not just stereotypical women. That's stereotypical men would... You hear the argument, oh, yes, I'd love a threesome, but definitely only with two girls. If there was another guy there, I'd have to beat him up. It's like, well, why is that the default that we hear because
the one that we had, we met a couple, and me and her could do whatever we wanted, but he couldn't touch me, and Darth couldn't touch her. He was so protective and obsessive, like, he would follow her to the bathroom at clubs and everywhere else. He was all ready to go when it came to me and her, but Darth couldn't even, touch her.
I wouldn't even bother. I'd be no.
That's what we call drama, then.
Yeah. Well, and when we first met them, we weren't aware... You know, we were just kind of meeting them to meet him, and we weren't aware of how obsessive he was until, again, we went to a club and he started following her to the bathroom. You know, the only reason why he didn't one time is because I went with her and like that. So we weren't aware of how obsessive he was on it, you know, until we were kind of hung out with him.
And along the same lines, though, that is, the girls playing together, but the guys don't play with the girls. That is a perfectly acceptable set of rules, as long as all parties are happy with it. A lot of open relationships do come about. A lot of the swingers we know, their relationships start because the girls want the opportunity to be with other girls. You know, I think the generally regarded standpoint in this country, in the world, is that female bisexuality is... female sexuality in general is very fluid, so girls can slip back and forth much more easily, say, than guys.
No, it's not technically true, and there's a lot of cultures where, especially if you get in the Middle East, that it's strict on both sides, that it's just you stick with this norm no matter what.
No, it's strict with society. I'm talking about the actual sexuality of the people.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And so a lot of them do get in specifically for the girls. So in that case, maybe you are only comfortable with the girls touching each other, or maybe you are only comfortable with the sex being with your own partners, but in the same space. And the key with the open relationship is there's really no wrong way to do it, as long as everybody, all participants, have agreed that that level of rule is fine with them.
I suppose you're right. And I know that the, one of the first ideas I had in my head was, letting Tonya play with another woman. And if I had found, back then, if I had found a couple that was interested in doing that, I probably would have gone with it. I probably would have just sat back, cracked open a brew and toasted the other guy and watched the girl go at it or something. That would have been fantastic. I mean, obviously I think that I've moved on to better things than that, but that would have been a great start, and, that would have been a great start.
Well, so, I mean, ultimately it comes down to just define your boundaries in a sort of general way. Figure out where generally you want to go, and the biggest thing for everybody involved in every aspect of open relationships is safer sex is happy sex. And basically your rules should not bend from that. And, that is in one of the instances, unprotected sex, no matter what the reason, drunk, whatever, can be one of those things that is like, wow, this is a deal breaker. So.
Well, there are very, very few situations when, when you'd even want to explore that. I mean, it's that old rule that you probably got taught in, high school health class. You're not just sleeping with the person that you're with, you're sleeping with every person they've ever slept with, or, at the very least, since their last STD test, all those people. So, if you got, as people, we've already been taught to worry about that in, the confines of just a dating relationship. Now you have to worry double, triple, or more when you're talking about swinger relationships. I mean, I know that generally, because everybody that is in some sort of swinger poly relationship is generally safe. There's less of a chance of catching something.
Well, yeah, because we're so strict on it. You know, that's one of the first questions you ask. You know, have you been checked? Da, 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 da.
Right, but the fact is that there are more numbers. You know, there are more numbers you have to worry about, and so that should kind of set you straight. I mean, there are, in the community, there are couples or groups of people that will go ahead and make a pact and say they'll only sleep with each other, and then they can go ahead and, you know, they'll take care of the birth control thing on their own, but then they'll go ahead and be with each other unprotected.
Fluid bonding.
Yeah, and you know, fluid bond, is that what that's called?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
It's fluid bonded, for any type of, my wife and I are fluid bonded. We have sex without protection. She's on birth control. That means that anything she has, I can get. That's what fluid bonded is.
Okay.
We do have to wrap up for this episode. We were going to continue the beginning topic and discuss, you know, how to find others into the same thing you are in episode 2. So I'd like to thank Kylie, Tyler, and Dylan for spending some time with me. And you've been listening to Life on the Swing Set. We'll see you next time.